What's up, guys? Welcome to the January 24th edition of the Zuch and Wild podcast. The season is over, and Ohio State is the national champion. Wow, what a season. I mean, Ryan Day, everything. You know, before we start talking about this game, I just want to say I've had so much fun watching this year, talking about it with you, talking about it with the people who I watch with when I'm drinking too many beers, watching these games. And, you know, to celebrate, not sponsored, I poured a nice glass of Fresca into my SEC ESPN network glass because I'm enjoying this. Fresca, probably one of the most underrated drinks. And I think this has been a very underrated college football season. And Ohio State did it, man. Ryan Day finally gets the monkey off the back. I mean, crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm
but also not
wondering,
because they spent $20 million on a roster. Also not crazy.
Yeah, you know, everyone doubted them from the beginning of the season when they were like number two and had a ton of NIL money and like more five stars than every other team there. They're just what the 12-team playoff is for, that gnarly underdog who doesn't often get a shot in the playoff.
No, yeah, the super, super gnarly underdog who no one believes in, except everyone, because everyone was like, man, Oregon, tough, tough game, that Ohio State, man, Tennessee screwed going to the horseshoe. The first thing I'm going to say before we kind of jump in, because the game went, I think, before this game, I talked about it, and Ohio State played their game. And to their credit, I said, if Ohio State plays their game, I think they're going to win. I just didn't think they were going to play the game. I thought they were going to try to match Notre Dame's smash mouth. I thought they were going to try to match the physicality. And you know what? I thought, hey, when I saw Riley Leonard have 8 quarterback runs, was it, on the first drive, 9-minute drive, I was like, oh, here comes Ryan Day. This is someone calling out his manhood. And you know, credit to him, I've been a big hater of Ryan Day, and I still will be, but I give credit to where credit's due. He played – that is the most Ohio State way to win ever. You just have explosive plays, you know you're better, and then you have some Ryan Day, Ohio State, mushy pea brain plays that somehow let Notre Dame back into the game. But then you use your athleticism to win in the end. I thought that was very fitting for Ohio State, and look – Jeremiah Smith is going to be a problem next year.
That's what's funny about the whole thing is, like everyone's saying, like you can't question Ryan Day anymore, and I don't know. I mean, I agree with that to an extent, but also, it with all the talent and the NIL and everything Ohio State had, it's like they needed a couple breaks to.
Look,
get in the playoff, which credit to them, they got it done. I kind of thought the second half was a little bit more. I thought Notre Dame kind of hurt themselves after that first drive and those next two offensive drives. You had, you know, a couple penalties, and then they had like that second drive, for example, they had the holding, so they were at second and 25. They probably weren't getting a first down when that happened. Then the third drive, you like a rush in the play, and they almost turn it over immediately. And they really didn't like – I don't know. I didn't think Notre Dame played great, but I didn't think they played all that bad per se. I thought the injuries on the defensive line kind of caught up to them a little bit. They weren't able to get pressure, and that to me was the difference is –
yeah.
Right now, they aren't as deep as someone like Ohio State. I still think they should, like Notre Dame fans should look at it and be pretty optimistic considering where they're at right now. Like that, to me, that game looked 100 times different than the last time they made the national title or even when they had made the playoff.
Are you saying that Riley Leonard's better than Ian Book? What?
He's probably a little bit.
Yeah, I would say just a little bit better. Sorry,
I like Riley.
Hey, shout out Folsom, California. Ian Book, Folsom, California.
Yeah, I just think they should be like, not that you shouldn't be upset that they lost, because like I said, I think they did some stuff to kind of get behind the bullseye. But I thought there was a lot to be said to get to be down 31-7 and be a third and 11 away from getting the ball back and able to tie it and go to overtime. Like previously they had gotten down like that and they lost by 20 or so points. And in this one, it was a
Right
one
back.
score game, third and 11, you get the ball back. Who knows what happens? But
Yeah.
going back to the beginning, you can't get down that much. Like I think 21-7 is one thing. 31-7 is
It's a
a
lot.
completely
It's a
different,
lot,
like that's,
and it
go
was the
ahead.
Ohio, almost the Ohio State kind of, we talked about it all year, the blitzkrieg style of Ohio State, where it's almost like we're just gonna rush you and we're just gonna put a bunch of points on early and just try to knock you out early. Might almost like 80s Mike Tyson, I would
Yeah.
say. And like what I watched is kind of building off what you were talking about with, Notre Dame just not being able to get things going till late. I think that comes down to chunk run plays. I felt like Ohio State, I mean, I'm looking at the stat right now. Judkins was averaging 8 or 9 yards a carry. And when I was watching, even in real time, I'm going to pull up the stats here soon. It just seemed like Notre Dame's could never get an edge running the ball without anyone other than Riley Leonard. And even
Yeah,
Riley Leonard, I feel like, was just like 2 yard carries, 3 yard carries. They never got that one that popped Notre Dame. They never had
no,
the
and I
pop
think
run.
Jeremiah Love was still, I think he was a lot more injured than they wanted to let on, which is what coaches do. You're not going to say, like, oh, yeah, this guy is. Because it was weird that he really wasn't getting that many carries. Granted, and when it was 31-7, you kind of had to throw the ball, but I really think that, I don't know, like I came out of that game in a weird way thinking that Marcus Freeman is probably a better coach than Ryan Day.
I mean, I thought Marcus Freeman coached almost a perfect game. I mean, that was just idiot decision to try to kick that field goal, in my opinion.
That and then the fake punt were kind of weird. And like the thing with the fake punt is like if he had caught it, it would have like worked out. I thought they should have just gone for it like at that point. But like those guys really, you hear a lot in sports like, oh, this team doesn't quit. This team, they really didn't quit. Like they gave it their all. I just think they didn't have, with the injuries and with when you look at Ohio State and who they have offensively, the injuries were a little bit too much to overcome, and they weren't
Yeah.
able to get, pressure on the court like that. I mean, that adds up. And there was injuries on Notre Dame's offensive line. Like they talked about it in the game. They had like three guys out, so that plays a factor. And both programs should be very, very happy with
Yeah.
where
I
they're
mean,
headed. We talked about it
I
a couple weeks ago. It takes a little bit to build up, to where you want to be. And I stand by my statement that before Notre Dame wasn't beating the Penn States and especially someone like Georgia, which granted Georgia had their own injuries they were dealing with, and the receiver position was kind of bad for Georgia this year. But even still, like that's something you can, before it was with under Brian Kelly, it was kind of, oh, like, yeah, they're 11-1, 12-0. You get killed by Alabama's, the Clemsons, the Ohio State. And I look at it now and just say, like, all right, well, you beat Georgia. I don't like it when it was 31-7, it was like, all right, yeah, they're overmatched. But I think once they kind of got in like a little bit of a groove of what they wanted to do,
Yeah.
it was, I don't think that Notre Dame fans should come away from that game, I guess, as we're not anywhere close to a national championship.
No, it's the thing with Ohio State is, you asked like Notre Dame should both programs should be very happy. Or maybe if you're Notre Dame, not very, because obviously losing the national championship stinks, especially when you're a program of that caliber. But Ohio State, you just go years, and this year is just, it seems like it could go bad. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit. kind of like the pros and cons. One of the pros is like no one is doubting that Ohio State probably is the best team in the country. I
Right.
mean, whether you want to say they should be there or not, you know, that's not their fault. This is why we all signed up for the 12 team, you know? But when Will Howard did enough, he's got to stop with the annoying shit though. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, you are handing the ball to probably two first and second round picks, and you have two or three first round picks aside. Can we stop with the winking? Again,
Right.
great number, number 18. Hey, I wore 18. Great number, but come on, can we stop with
Well,
that?
that's the
Also,
thing
Ryan
that's
Day, I want to say this. I'm gonna give Ohio State their props. I've already talked about why I think they've won. Blitzkrieg style. They played their style. Chip Kelly, I thought, called a fantastic game. Can we talk about Ryan Day's like freak out throwing his headphones just like into the stands
that's
afterwards?
what
But
the
it's
thing.
honestly like warranted. I mean, do you realize how much stress that guy probably had? Like that guy could
Oh,
probably shove a coal up his ass and it'd make a diamond.
well, that's the thing is now it's now that you ha and that's what I was kind of alluding to earlier is now that you have one, like the stress isn't going anywhere. Like if they were to, not win for the next 2 or 3 years, you have the national championship, which is great. Like not that many coaches have national champion active coaches at least have national championships. But it's still like you're still at Ohio State. Like I don't know, it's not gonna change much
Similar
for
to
you.
Dabo
Like, and I
Sweeney,
don't,
maybe.
yeah, and I don't like a lot of things came together for them this year. And what I mean by that is like, for example, if you look at had Indiana, right, lost to Michigan, which was a close game, Indiana won. Like Michigan was driving, I think, at the end of that game and got inside like the 10 or so and didn't score. Had Indiana lost that game, they wouldn't have made the playoff, but that's the benefit of being Ohio State is you can lose to Michigan and you're still a 7 seed. So like that, I don't necessarily know that everything because they won the national championship goes away from what has caused Ohio State to lose in the past. Like if you didn't have the 12, if the 12-team playoff wasn't a thing this year, do you think Ryan Day would still be the head coach? Like, if it was just a 4-team playoff and they hadn't made it, I don't know that he would have. Would.
No. We said before, I mean, to answer the question, what does this mean for Ryan Day? We said before the playoffs started, it's natty or bust for him. Like like at this point, it really is natty or bust.
Yeah.
And look, he won the natty, so like he probably has bought himself what a
A
not a
few years at
lifetime
least.
contract, but he's probably he just bought himself 5 more years probably.
Yeah,
It's like
which is
five
good
more
on him. Like they did it. They
stress-free
beat
years.
Texas. They beat Notre Dame. They beat Tennessee. Like they,
Oregon.
or yeah, I mean it's not like they didn't. Like I think a lot of times, and it's more of like a college basketball thing where like you'll see. Like a 1 seed, they'll get like the 16 seed, obviously, and then the 8 or 9, and then depending on the I can't think of exactly how the bracket would play out for who they'd play in the Sweet 16, but like they play another double digit seed, so like they have a quote unquote easy run, which I think is just stupid in general. I've never agreed like oh like you still win the 6 games, like
Yeah.
it's not easy, like the tournament is never a 1 seed playing the 4 seed to go to the final four, and then another 1 seed in the final four, and then the other brackets 1 seed in the national championship game. So that's always been stupid to me. But like I said, credit to Ohio State. They got it done. If Twitter would have had to have been shut down if Notre Dame had come back
Right.
and win that
Well,
game.
I thought they were going
Which,
to, you
and
know,
that's the thing.
all almost. Can we put that up there? Even though Notre Dame lost, can we put that announcer Fowler jinx up there with the greats, saying,
Yes.
"Oh, you know, a turnover, get them back into the game." Literally, boop,
Well, and that's
Kabuka
what's so
fumble.
funny to me about, like, and it's a social media thing, but, like, let's say, for example, on that 3rd and 11, they had thrown it deep to Smith, and it was like, it didn't get caught, right? So they go to punt it. Notre Dame keeps a timeout. They still have the 2 minute warning. Then everyone have been like, oh, well, like, and let's say that they take like a longer drive because they can look at it and be like, okay, well, we don't have to take the timeout here. We can run a couple plays before the 2 minute warning. And then we have another timeout. Like that's a lot of time. So then people probably would have been like, oh, like, why'd you throw it on, go deep on 3rd and 11? Mm-hmm. You should have, you know, done crossing routes or something. Like, that's always what they do with, like, the head coach, even the field goal thing. Like, I probably would have gone for it because it would only cut it to 13. That being said, had that, it's like, that's kickers for you. This kid Jeter comes out and drills like a 50 yard field goal against Penn State in like a huge, hugely stressful situation, and then misses one from like the 10 yard line, hits the goalpost.
But college kickers, like, man.
Granted, the game probably wouldn't have played out the same way. Like, things happen, but Notre Dame gets, like, say it played out the same way. Notre Dame gets the ball back, goes down there, scores again. So it would have gone from 13 to, like, what? It would have been what? It would have been 31 to, when they kicked the field goal, what were they down? 31-15? So it would have been 31-18. Yeah. So it would have been a 5-point game. So then Ohio State, you know, they get the deep pass, whatever. They're only up 8. Then it's like, it would have, who knows what happens. Like, I granted, Notre Dame probably wouldn't have scored with 26 seconds left. But, I like, that's just how people do, coaches. Like, there's never
history. History is written by the victors.
Yeah.
You know, like, history is written by the victors. At the end of the day, Ohio State got it done. And they played, they were the better team for three quarters. And they're the better team for three quarters. I mean, I don't know what there is else to say, you know. The next thing, okay, one more thing. That video of the woman crashing the golf cart is hilarious. That was so funny. That's like the axle just like breaking. That was just, it was just perfect. It was a perfect cap on like Ohio State winning, because it's just like Ryan Day, like a literal car wreck to the end. A literal car wreck to the end.
I just want to say, and I know he came out today and there's been a lot going on with him. At least people are finally starting to see how, I am sorry, but if you have a son that is involved with Ohio State football, you should not be able to call the national championship game. I don't care what else is going on.
His son's going to Michigan.
Well, he has a son that was on Ohio State, but he had heart problems and Ryan Day let him stick around. So he's like part of the staff or something now. And my point being is,
we're talking about Kirk Herbstreit for those who
they went a little too far with the Kirk Herbstreit stuff this year. It got to the point, and I said it months ago, I'm like, this is starting to annoy me. Like, okay, like we get it. Like, we all love our dogs, stuff like that.
I thought he did it to himself. He just like got caught up trying to be like the cool guy, like McAfee and all these guys he sees on social media. And I love Herbstreit calling games. Dude, you're just not that guy. Like,
no.
You could have been like Lee Corso 2.0. Just be like the old school guy, call the game down the middle, do what Reese Davis does, honestly.
Well, yeah, and you just can't, and it's not his, like, I get why his kid is at Ohio State. He has a kid at Michigan. I get that. That's fine. But there is an inherent bias if you're, and I know he said after the game, he's like, I do a great job of staying neutral, and he's getting, people can tell you're not being that neutral. I'm sorry, but fair. Your kid is on, your mental, kid works for Ohio State.
And he is in a mental blizzard right now. Because I think for the first time in his life, everyone up until this year, I feel like people had a positive opinion on Herbstreit. Look, I still love when Herbstreit calls games. I think he's a great color commentator. Yeah. But even I was annoyed at some of the comments he was making, like just passing off teams, the Indiana comments, the SMU comments, the overall comments of like, oh, what's deserving and what's not. That I think that really rubbed people the wrong way, and I think it took a toll on him. It took a toll on him because it was for the first time. It's like, wait, people don't like me, and it's like, not only don't we like you, we've never really liked you. You're the one who's being shoved down our throat. Like, and I think it did a toll on him, and I think now he's in a, like I said it like three or four times before, he's in like a mental blender right now. I hope he needs the off season. Like he Kirk Herbstreit should not think about football till after Memorial Day, honestly. Like
Right.
I think it's best for his mental health. Like he just do not watch a snap of football, even highlights, until Memorial Day.
Yeah, and like I said, you are going to be biased. I mean, it's impossible not. It would be the equivalent of if one of us had a brother or something like that on Ohio
Boise
State or Notre
State.
Dame.
It
Yeah,
would
and
be like
like,
it would be Boise State because it would be like our alma mater too.
right. Yeah, it's not his, like I said, I do like him on color commentary, but when it is Ohio State on there, that's when people, because he gets so defensive. And like he said, like, oh, I'm friends with Ryan Day, all this stuff, which is I understand why. You have a kid who's affiliated with Ohio State. You yourself went to school there. You're gonna be, it's impossible not to be. So you shouldn't put yourself in that position, I guess is what I'm saying. Like,
Or you shouldn't say that you're down the middle. Just do like, I'd rather have you be like Urban Meyer or like Charles Woodson, who just like blatantly is like, yeah, I don't care. I'm gonna just choose Michigan every time. Or like when Urban
and that's
Meyer,
what I'm saying is
like,
like
go for it.
Desmond, Michigan could be 1-11 or 1-10 playing Ohio State, and he would pick Michigan. And he says, like, I went to Michigan. My kids go to Michigan. I love the University of Michigan. And people like look at it and they're like, oh, okay, like, yeah, like we understand why you're picking Michigan. You're not gonna pick Ohio State, even if like there's a gun to your head. Like, so just. And we'll see how it goes this next year. Like I said, a lot of it was, like you said, just shoved. It was shoved down. Like we, with the dog, like the second dog. Okay, we get it. Like we all like your dog. We don't need to see it 500 times from College Game Day until your broadcast. We got it the first time. Like it's great. All this stuff. And it's not just college football that does it. It's you kind of have to. It's kind of the same thing with Ohio State and the like it being this great, like them painting it as like look at what all they went through story. Like, yeah, you had a couple losses and people are down on you, but people are down on you because you lost to a 6-5 Michigan team when they couldn't throw the ball and complete a forward pass. So that's why people were it's not like it was just this like that's what annoys me is like people act like it was undeserved. No, I'm sorry. When you lose to your arch rival for the third year in a row, and you are 10-1, and all season long have been a close to or the national championship favorite, and you lose to Michigan, who truly like didn't have a 1,000-yard passer, I don't think, you're gonna get crap for it. Every team that's gonna happen to. People gave crap to Alabama when they got killed by Oklahoma. They got on. Like people did it to Oregon after they got killed by Ohio State. Like it comes with the territory. So.
Yeah, though no, it'll be interesting to see. And to that point, like taking everything considering, you know, we saw, I think we've kind of seen both the pros and the cons of the 12-team playoff. And personally, I'd like when I lay them out, when I make the pros and cons T chart in my head, it is on the pro side, you have, man, a lot more games mean a lot more. And look, that's just me. Like it is not just me, it's people like me. You know, I said it last week. Games like Boise UNLV, games like Florida Ole Miss, even a game like Notre Dame Texas A&M, like that's a big game, but that has serious playoff implications. You know, I even a game like Penn State, like USC, like that matters even more. Clemson, South Carolina, SMU is playing in games that matter. Like you know what I mean? Like all of these games matter more. The second, it fixes the problem of people sitting out big bowl games. We will no longer have Florida State situations with the 12 team. On the con side, I do see this. Number one, you are going to maybe like it gives you more big games, but you're gonna lose. Or what some people would say, I don't think this, is that they say, oh man, but no game really means anything.
It's
My
not real,
argument to
yeah.
so I want to get your like argument to that before I go into my argument to the people who kind of go, because it is a the people who love the 12 team like me will say more games mean stuff, and the people who hate it will say less games mean stuff. So I just want to get like your opinion on that before I kind of give my spiel.
So I don't think it, in a little bit of a way, yeah, it does mean like obviously Ohio State losing to Michigan didn't destroy their season, right? They were able to rebound from it, win the national title. So yes, it would be foolish to say 100% that the games like still mean what they used to mean. No, that I mean there's still, it's like you still don't want to lose to Michigan. Like that's going to linger over Ohio State's national championship despite all their celebrations now. Like you're still, I don't care what you say, you're still annoyed that you lost to a bad Michigan team. But on the contrary, I think that a lot of times in the past, even before the BCS era, like, and like Shane Gillis was joking about it, but I brought it up last week. Like you look at in the 90s with Florida State, how many missed field goals they had against Miami. They didn't get a chance to play for the national title. Notre Dame in 93 beat FSU, and that was back when you just awarded the national champion after the
The AP,
season. They
yeah.
like they didn't get one. You know, the USC teams after the Leinart and Bush years probably would have, could have at
Won a
least
couple
won
more.
a couple more national championships. Alabama, after the kick six, like they have a couple that they probably could have won too. So I do think it makes the sport better because, and that's why I think people have like a disagreement about. I think some people think that it meant something to go undefeated, which I get. I'm not disagreeing that it wasn't really cool to see, like, oh, like this, like these guys went 14 and 0. Like, that's a hugely impressive thing to do is go 14 and 0. But I don't necessarily think that it means you're any better if you, like, one team's 14 and 0 one year and another team is 13 and 1. And I know it's different now, what Ohio State finished 14 and 2. Like 14 and 2. Like, I don't think there's a huge difference between 15 and 1, I guess, and 16 and 0. Yeah, you're undefeated. You can say undefeated national championship. It's more impressive. But I don't think it means because you are 15 and 1, you are a worse team than a 16 and 0 team that won it before you.
Yeah, I really like what you said there. I like when you said maybe the big games don't mean much and the undefeatedness, maybe like that glamour goes away, right? But we are truly getting to see like it, at least this year in the small sample size, we did see probably the best, maybe top three team in the country win. Like it does reward the best team. And the reason why I like this so much too, and I love the 12 team, is that in some sick way, I think if done correctly, and they just only tweak it a little bit, it can satisfy every party in the country in terms of college football. And I'm going to tell you why. Number one, it keeps the big players happy because it essentially guarantees a couple blue bloods in a year. Because, like you said, teams like Ohio State, USC, Penn State, Bama, Georgia, they're all going to get the benefit of the doubt. Benefits them and makes them happy while also allowing the little guy, the Indianas, the SMUs, the Boises, the teams that even if they used to run the table would be shut out. And now they're getting a chance to play. Arizona State, are you kidding me? Like that playoff berth is going to work wonders for that program. And
Oh,
that's a
yeah.
team that what? Probably plays in the Fiesta Bowl, maybe Scattaboo sits out. Like that's what would have happened. Like that
and
is literally what would have happened.
I think my biggest gripe with the overall playoff structure, and I'll get backlash from the BSU and the G5 schools. I really don't think that BSU should have been the 3 seed. It's not BSU's fault that they were. That's how it was drawn up. But I think if you're being realistic about a BSU fan and you look at your resume, like to me, where I would have the biggest issue is if I was like an Oregon fan. You know, you get, like you look at it, you're like, okay, we beat Penn State, we beat Ohio State. We are undefeated and the best conference in the nation this year. And we are rewarded by having to play Ohio State after basically a month off in the Rose Bowl, whereas Boise State, who is in the Mountain West, who I don't care what G5 fans say, it's not the same level of competition. It's just not. You can look at the Penn State game and clearly see where there's a difference in the caliber of defensive, like, line is the biggest thing. Like, there's a huge difference in what you're matched up against in the trenches. But, like, Penn State, who lost to Ohio State and lost to Oregon, gets to play SMU and then Boise State, and then they're in the Final Four. So I think that's what needs to change, because – and I almost think that I don't hate, like, how really that many – like I said, I don't think Boise State should have been a 3 seed. But I don't hate the overall seeding structure. I think maybe you should – reseed, like do like the NFL and just reseed after.
Yeah, I think that's the easy fix. All you have to do is reseed, and if you want to take it a step further, just, I mean, what I think they will do, whether I agree with it or not, because I think most years we don't have this problem, because most years I feel like the ACC is better and just doesn't diarrhea all over themselves. But, like, I have no problem. Like, I think winning your conference championship still has to mean something. Like, the ACC floating around the idea of their regular season conference champion not playing in the championship game, that is the biggest load of loser talk I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, that is for losers. And if they do that, you know what they're doing? They're just going to – the second the ACC does that, every other conference is going to go, okay, we're just going to automatically seed. Because if you don't think it's going to matter, like, we're not letting that affect any of us.
Right.
So essentially, like, you just be speeding up what you don't want. But I digress. I like the 12 team. I think it's been good. Like I said, I think the main change that they need to make is just the reseeding after the rounds.
Yeah, and you're going to – I see a lot of, like, oh, like, look at all these – you're going to get in any playoff – it doesn't matter if it's like how if it's the NCAA tournament or the 12-team playoff or even the NFL or even if it's sports that have a 7-game series that decide. Like, you get a lot of times in the championships blowouts. I mean, like, if you look at the World Series, a couple of the games were close, but the Dodgers won in 5. How many games did it take the Celtics to win the NBA title this last year? It was
not 7.
Yeah, not 7. The NFL playoffs haven't been great by any stretch of the imagination. Like,
oh, I disagree. I think the NFL playoffs have been great so
well,
far.
I mean, like, close game wise, there haven't been like
I don't know. That divisional round was pretty good. Like, that's like. Like the Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, Texans.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, like, how many of them were double-digit wins? I know the Bills-Ravens wasn't, which we will get to that later because there was some list.
There are people. Some list stuff. But
Mark Andrews.
I get your point, and I think the NFL playoffs is an anomaly in terms of that. But you're going to get blowouts.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll say on this is that I do think this is – an unintended consequence is you will see more, you will see different, t more amount of teams win the national championship, but they will come from a smaller pool. But
Oh,
maybe
yeah,
even
100%.
not, because now that I'm thinking about it, I think it was like what I try to tell people is that I keep saying this is the last thing I'm going to say, but this is truly is the last thing I'm going to say. A lot of people are like, oh man, but they're just making it for the big guy to win. Oh man, it's just the big guy winning and all. When in college football has the big guy not won? That's what I
Let's
like. That's what, like, we've been playing this facade for decades that everyone has a chance. No, they
right.
don't. Cal in the 90s, I remember, like, I think they lost one game one year and they got sent to like the Alamo Bowl. Like, crazy. And that's a team that could have been in the playoff in this format.
Yeah, and
So
that's my.
Aaron Rodgers' team that beat Pete Carroll USC, he beat them that year, and then they just blew a game to Oregon State, and then they had to play in the Holiday Bowl. They
Right.
didn't even go. Like,
Well,
that's what I mean. Like,
yeah, and that's my overall thing with it is I think for some smaller schools, it does give you a better chance than you had before because you're in it, right? Like you, if you win all your games, you're, gonna win the national championship if you win the four games or whatever. But I think what some people didn't think about, like they heard it and they're like, oh, that sounds great. What they didn't think about is like, oh, okay, well, like if you look at Ohio State this year to win the national championship, they had to beat Tennessee, Oregon, Texas and Notre Dame to win the national
yes.
championship. It's I think in some people's head they kind of got in their minds because of like one-off games, I guess, like the like Tulane beating USC, Boise State, Oklahoma, that it would be it's just like that when it's like not exactly. Like you're gonna have to, and where it's different
Maybe
than
we will get
like
those one-off upsets in like one of the rounds, like or
yeah, and I'm not
something.
saying that won't happen. Eventually, it will happen. There will be like a, oh, wow, like Boise State or Tulane beat Florida, whoever it could be, like in the
Cheap shot.
playoff. But the difference is between that and the NCAA tournament is like, if you're a 10 seed, right? Like you're a 10 seed and you beat the seven. Or what a like, even like an 11. I'll go 11 because that happens more often, I feel like, than 10. Like you beat the six seed, and then you're like, oh, well, we're playing a 14 seed now to go to the Sweet 16. And then you might have like a four or five. It's a little bit like, to me, like a four seed in the NCAA tournament, while it's a good team, it's not like
No,
usually
it's
who
essentially
wins.
Kansas State. It's Kansas State
Right.
football. It's like a 25 team in the
Yeah.
country.
Yeah, it's not, it's not UConn or Duke when they're it's you're having to play to win the national championship in college football. You're basically paying all one or two seeds for the most part. Like someone might like Clemson snuck in there this year and they were probably like a five or a six seed, but for the most
Yeah.
part, it's like, oh, well, Tennessee's pretty good. Oregon's very good. Texas is pretty good. Notre Dame's pretty good. Like,
Yeah, it.
that's the difference. And why I think it's apples to oranges to compare. Like, you'll see it sometimes, like, oh, it happens in college basketball. Okay, well, even still, like, when is the last
Champion,
group of five?
like
What do they call them?
mid-majors.
Mid-major to
Do
win the
not
national
call
championship.
Gonzaga a mid-major. The mid-major people will get very upset. And then if you do call Gonzaga, if you don't call Gonzaga a mid-major, the Gonzaga people will get very upset.
Right there,
Or
yeah.
no, the fan base that gets upset, and we'll talk more about this because we're gonna get a little off-season teasers after we do the list. But Memphis does not want do not call Memphis fans mid-major. They
Right.
will get upset. But no, that was awesome season. That was an awesome 12-team playoff. That was great. That was, I mean, to end it all, man, that was the most fun I've had watching a college football season in a few years. And maybe some of that's due to Boise State, Maybe some of that's due to, I'm watching the game in Southern California, like at like these crowded bars. It's just like great atmosphere. If anyone needs someone to watch ball in Southern California, Mutt Lynch is in Orange County, Shellback's Tavern in the South Bay, Jameson's in Santa Monica. Those are the three. If anyone knows any other ball watching spots in Boise or Southern California, please let us know. We got to check out these ball watching spots out.
Also, if
But
anyone's been to the Budweiser Beer Park to watch games, let us know how that is because we're going to be there in a couple
do let
months.
us know about that. Yes. But let's move on to the list. This is the last college football list of the year, and it ended with a bang. I don't know, but there was the second biggest thing that happened on Monday was we got a new president, so that was another little spicer on Twitter that, probably shouldn't have happened because Twitter is already just firing politically nowadays. But luckily, my algorithm is mainly college football based, but sometimes we get some seeping. But as always in the list, we neither condone nor support these tweets. We are just the messenger bringing you what we see in our feed. Zooch, I'll let you kick it off, man.
Well, the first one I have, and we said before, the list is just things we see on Twitter. Usually they're revolved around football. This is an NFL one, and it is from at hater report underscore, and it just says Mark Andrews in the Ravens locker room after the game, and it's just a scene from Full Metal Jacket where they start beating what his name's not Favre, but that's the guy from
Private pile.
Private Pyle with the soap in the sock after he keeps getting him in trouble. Me. Mark Andrews alone could have made up for most of the list. Like, I have another Mark Andrews one. It's at Gallo Saved Me, and it just says Mark Andrews after I lace his insulin with Magic Johnson's blood. And it is just a dude who is clearly like on some type of drug and they're trying to pour milk down his
Ah,
throat. We've
yes, the
seen
classic
the.
video. Yep.
Yeah.
And he's like, yep. Bad. That's a meme. Hashtag meme.
It's sad. And then here's one from, and this is not really a tweet per se, but it's from Message Board Geniuses, and it was posted on the message
Yes.
board by Georgia fans, and it just says, "Is obesity a degree at Auburn?" Me.
You got to get
Like
one
this.
last shot in before the year ends.
Yep, this out of nowhere. And then, since we're going to be diving into some college basketball soon, our friend Gabe is back on the list by finding local reporter BJ Raines doing a workout with Boise State. It looks like about a decade or so ago, and putting him doing layups to the is that his name, LiAngelo ball? Is
Yep,
that the ball that does it?
tweaker. Yeah.
Yep.
Swerve in
So
that corner. Whoa.
that is the there is. Probably about 50 that we can't read on here of just different, national championship combined with inauguration combined with Mark Andrews was just a
Yep.
all-out
Yeah, no.
war on.
It was pretty brutal, and I got some too. I'm gonna start it off with this one by at John Johnson CPA, and Zooch, just a little bit of a cheap shot. This is one I saw. I love Rebel Nation, and it's Lamar Jackson in a must-win game, and it's just AI Lamar Jackson in an Ole Miss jersey.
Yeah, a Jackson
Me.
Dart jersey to be exact.
The next one I've seen. This one very, very mean. I'm not gonna really explain it. It comes from at Richard D. Butt. Great burner name, by the way. Great burner name. And the caption is just raw dog, rather kill myself, raw dog. I'm not going to describe what the picture is. I'll let you guys try to find that. Like I said, this is a tweet I don't condone. Let's just say Holly Rowe is the butt of these jokes, and she does a great job. It just the burnerverse hates Holly Rowe. I don't know. I mean, she gets so much unnecessary hate. But sometimes it's funny. Random lists at Lobo Coach Patino. He took one of the weirdest fucking videos outside the pit the morning after that they beat Boise. And I don't know why his lips are so oily or why it looks like he's, you know, I don't know what it is with New Mexico coaches, whether it's Richard Pitino doing this with his oily ass lips outside of the pit, or Jason Eck at Eagle High School at like 7 a.m. like a year or two ago. They just, hey, at least it's authentic. And then the last one I have, it was just a classic, and it's Ryan Day stopping Marcus Freeman. Oh, it's from at Horns Up Chris. Ryan Day stopping Marcus Freeman on MLK Day from being the first black coach to win a natty, and it is AI Ryan Day in a KKK outfit. That is just bad. Just it's just bad. I mean, it is a little bit funny, but like, it's do not condone it. AI has gone too far.
And there was, I actually forgot about one, which might have been the worst of the entire weekend. It is a quote tweet of the FBI, and let me just say, FBI, we're just passing this information along, what we've seen. And the FBI said, "Today, the FBI honors the life and work of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We reaffirm our commitment to Dr. King's legacy of fairness and equal justice for all." And it is just a quote tweet from maybe Poppy Woman Neglector, and his at is at Juice God and Prive. And it is a picture of about 15 or so years ago, player on the University of Miami was shot and killed, and they had a game a couple of days later, and they had like a big painted mural of him on the field, and they're all like kneeling, praying, looking at the picture. Come to find out that one of the guys in that picture was the one who shot him. So
Yeah,
that
no,
one
it's just
was.
classic. Yeah, no, FBI, you know, we usually call on you to watch out for these lists. So at CIA, check out the FBI, please. That is they need to be held accountable. But that's it, dude. That's the last list of the year, man. I mean, we gave a big thank you last week, and I'm gonna do the same thing again. We got so many people commenting, engaging. We cannot thank you enough for everything this college football season. This is our third season doing this, and it's just been so much fun. I don't want to speak for myself, but it truly is so fun when you get to see people interact with stuff. And that's on you guys too, who listen. Like I said, whether it's in the podcast, whether it's in the clips. Gonna go into a little bit of our off-season updates, because a little bit more on kind of what the next steps are now that it's post football season. So we're going to go on a 2 week break, two or 3 week break, we're not sure, kind of recharge a little bit. And then, like last year, we will be doing college basketball and college football off-season content. So that's what the episodes will consist of, is college basketball and any off-season college football content news that happens. Zooch is also now going to talk about a new sort of segments we're going to do. Talking a little bit maybe about some blind rankings and maybe how
Oh,
we can
yeah.
get the listeners involved.
Yep, we're going to be doing some blind rankings, but not the traditional, like, I don't want to say they're boring because they're not. They start good debates, but it's not going to be like a, oh, blind rankings, whatever, like Heisman winning quarterbacks over the last 10 years that, you know, like everyone knows, like there's like five or however many, and Joe Burrow is going to be number one. It's going to be more of a like high or national BCS national championship winning QBs because you're going to have, you know, a 16 year. And my thought process behind it is I'm going to get, find a good generator, put all the guys in there. So we'll have like Jason White in there and just like some guys who probably weren't that great of QBs. And you don't know who you're going to get. We're not going to, you know, it's not going to be a setup of like, oh, I'm going to have the five guys and know that three of them are really good and two of them weren't as good.
Yeah.
I was thinking like something like that, or, you know, five, blind ranking five worst hires over the
Oh,
last
yeah.
century. Like that could
Doing
be
that,
some.
and this is something that, like, the reason why I mentioned kind of get the listeners involved and you guys is that please let us know, like comment, like we will do the lists you choose. I remember last year we had some great convos. We had some people gave us some high-low buffaloes and gave us some, especially during college basketball season, so some great topics to talk about. But please, like, let us know if you have a comment. If you just love like maybe like blind ranking of like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something super stupid. Blind ranking of like Lou Holtz moments, or like blind ranking of like Brett Musburger horny moments. Like that's the kind of stuff we're doing. Like we're like at the very beginning of all this, what we created is like we want this to be niche, and like niche in a good way, because we feel like there's a lot of college football fans, but there's not a lot of people talking about these funny things. There's not a lot of people who can laugh at, you know, oh my God, who is that San Jose State quarterback from a few years ago that like somehow got drafted? Like you know the guy I'm talking about.
The guy who was at like five, like A&M for a little bit, and
Yes. Like
I can't think of his name,
that
but I
guy's
know.
hilarious. That guy's hilarious to me. Another one, like the fact that, oh my gosh, the fact that Brandon Whedon was 29 playing in college. Like
Well, that's
that's
what I mean. It's like you can do like maybe we'll do, BCS bowl game winning
yeah.
quarterbacks blind ranking, because that gives you what there's like five or six a year
Yeah.
over a 18 year or so period. However, the BCS was like 98 to
Yeah.
2013,
Oh,
so 15
we could
years.
get some
So
silly ones. We could get some absolute silly ones. But yeah, that and then the last thing off season update is that back by popular demand, we will be bringing back the Zuch and Wild bracket challenge for March Madness. And little rumor says the prize might be similar to last year in terms of cash. So, and we are going to
that
do a
money.
better job of making that more streamlined to sign up. But we, because we, to be completely honest, we had way more people sign up than we thought. We had like what, 70 or 80 people last year sign up. That was double than what we thought, which is credit to all of you guys. So we're hoping to get similar amount of participation. But yeah, the Zuch and Wild bracket challenge will be coming back. So just keep an eye on that around March Madness.
And just so everyone knows, our college basketball knowledge is like, so we would get an A at least in college football knowledge if it was a subject in school.
Yes.
College basketball, we're a borderline C. Like, we're gonna pass, we're gonna
Yeah.
pass, but.
College basketball, I'll just be laughing. I mean, like, we got so lucky last year with some of the storylines because of the Ed Cooley in the Big East and
Oh, yeah.
like the Field of 64 or the Field of 68. And I'm not gonna lie, like we rode Jay Billis for like 3 weeks. Like, I mean, that was like two shows straight where we were just making fun of him. So like we'll see what happens this year. Like I've been keeping some attention. All you gotta know, Cooper Flagg, good.
Good. Alabama scores a lot of points, and
Auburn's good again.
Bruce Pearl might be an issue. He is, he's feeling himself now, especially after Donald Trump won.
Yes.
And my, it's actually no, Duke's going to be the number one overall seed because the ACC kind of sucks again. For what it makes no sense to me that the SEC is like filthy in basketball and the ACC is.
Because they always, I feel like the SEC always could have been good in basketball, and then they were like, wait a minute. We're making so much money now because of football. Some of this money's got to go somewhere else.
So
Good
now I have
basketball.
like, I looked at bracketology today and I think it said they have like 12 teams in or something like that, which is
We will also,
insane.
sorry, if you are just listening for the updates, all of the main updates are over, but we will do our best to. Last year we did. Boise State was good, so we know we have a big Boise population listening. We talked about that. I don't know if we're gonna, should we reserve Boise State, all Boise State opinions until after the Mount West tournament and
Well,
see how they do?
I have kept up with BSU, and from what I've read, it is, which is not a good position to be in, from like different people who are actually really good at bracketology, which I didn't know that like so many people did.
Does his name rhyme with Mate Merrill?
No, actually, but it is a person who may or may not be getting to Las Vegas at 6 a.m. for my bachelor party, so he doesn't miss any basketball game. But from what I've seen, BSU basically has to go 11-1 to get an at-large at this point down the stretch, which...
Yikes. You still got to go at SDSU.
Yeah, at SDSU, you get Utah State again, you get New Mexico again. You're at Colorado State, who's not terrible tomorrow, I believe. Probably not going to happen, but you know what? Maybe Leon Rice will rally the boys. He did not rally them the other night, and it was like 50-21 at halftime against New Mexico.
Was Max Rice the glue guy? This is what some people are asking.
People are asking,
were we all too hard on Max Rice, which is just crazy. Oh my gosh.
It's, you know, and you know, that's part of being a mid-major is being not even till February, and then like, oh yeah, you can only lose one more game the rest of the year when you have three other tournament teams on your schedule. Plus, it's not like you have just destroyed every other, you know, you may or may not have gone over or beaten San Jose State by 2 points. So,
yep. Oh, well, everyone, thank you for listening. Make sure to comment if you have any blind ranking suggestions. As always, follow us on Instagram, YouTube, X, the everything app. And do we still have TikTok?
Yes, for some people. Okay.
For TikTok, everyone just like wait for just wait for it. It's probably gonna come back. I mean,
Works. Mine does work. Yeah. Some people's isn't working still.
Okay, so if you still have TikTok, or if your TikTok, once it works, follow us on TikTok. But Zooch, anything else?
Nothing else. Well, like I said, we'll be doing some different stuff over the off season. We might, you know, we will have like a, and I don't know if we should do early top 25.
Oh, that'll be the first show. That'll be the first show once you come back of our hiatus. We'll be our way too early top 25. It'll be February.
We'll do probably like a way too early playoff, but that is extremely subject to change because we still have another transfer portal window. We still have, you know, a few NFL openings, so we'll see what happens with a couple of those. You never know what things could change in that realm. So we'll be getting some stuff out. Then as summer, like I said, we'll do the tournament challenge. We'll be talking about the NCAA tournament and the funny things that happen in that, just like the ridiculous, you know, like I already know one I want to talk about, and I'll pull it up and then I'll let everybody go. But to prepare to like get a little bit back more into college basketball, I was looking at the conference standings and I happened to come across the SWAC, which it's a little bit better now. It is a little bit better, but
the SWAC,
the team number one in the SWAC is the 10-8 Southern Jaguars. And then after that, this is the records of the teams: 7-11, 7-11, 4-14, 3-15, 7-11, 4-15, 6-12.
That has Dayton written all over it.
Yes. I am praying to God, because Jackson State right now is 4-14, but 4-1 in the SWAC. I am praying that they like just do not have, like, at this point they won't. They aren't going to play any more out of conference games, but I want them to be in the tournament and not have won a game outside of the conference. That is what I'm praying for. So, but they're 4-1 right now, so you know, they're on a little bit of a heater.
So funny. All right. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for the season. We will be back in 2 weeks with our early top 25 and some college basketball talk. Peace. I almost left the studio again. I gotta end this recording now. Now, everyone, peace.